Amen? Amen. God bless you as you give. Hallelujah. Like I said, I've been studying for this whole series on God's love since early December. Well, you know, I'm in the hospital. That doesn't help. But, you know, God just keeps knocking on the door of your heart. You ever have that happen where God keeps knocking on the door of your heart and finally he gets through this hard head of yours and you're going, oh, you're trying to tell me something, Lord? You know, sometimes I'm like that too, you know. And so the more he was bringing this to me, the more I just started digging. I'm telling you what. And just last night, I mean, after I got done with the men's stakeout and I got home and everything else, God just starts downloading this stuff into me, what I wrote under this, what God says about you page. I mean, all night long, I'm hardly able to go into my deep sleep. And for me, this is really weird because ordinarily my head hits the pillow and you can count backwards from 3, 2, 1, and I'm asleep. My wife has learned not to hold a conversation with me when I go to bed. Because after a while, I mean, it doesn't take long, 3 seconds and I'm gone usually. And then she found out, you know, after she first married me, you know, this happens, you know. She finds out I talk in my sleep, too, so she's sitting there interrogating me like a new bride will, you know. And it's like truth serum, man. You got to be careful, you know. But apparently I told everything that she wanted to hear, you know, and then she got the guilts over it and quit doing that. But so here I am all night long last night, and God's just dealing with me. Kind of half asleep, kind of half awake, and next thing you know, another nugget would drop in, and another nugget would drop in, and another one. Let me just read to you what God dropped in my heart last night. And this is what you need to start saying about yourself. Because it is so easy to get down on yourself. Devil jump on your shoulder, remind you of every dirty, rotten thing you ever did. Every time you ever missed it, he'll try to tell you that it's all over but the crying. It's easy. I mean, I'm harder on myself than anybody else. Because somehow or another, I want to do everything perfect for God. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I'm messing up. I'm not hitting the mark. But I'm still striving for it. But here's the thing that keeps me going. This is the thing that keeps me grinning. This is the thing that every time I pray, I know something's fixing to bust loose. He says, this is what God says about you. And I'm taking this right out of the scriptures, all right? You are the masterpiece of all my creation, fearfully and wonderfully made. You mean so much to me that I came, walked among you, took your sin, died and rose again so you could be reconnected to my love forever. Wow. No matter how many times you have failed, I still believe in you, for you are the apple of my eye, and I will always believe in you. I am not finished with you yet. My love for you is unconditional, absolute, and without measure. I will not, and this is right out of the Amplified, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you or let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not. There is no sin too great that I will not forgive you from. If you come to me, take responsibility for it and repent. I will completely forgive and forget that it ever happened. That's the God we serve. I want so badly to show you the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of my love for you. When you seek for me with all of your heart, you'll find me there. I long to give you the revelation of this love of mine so you'll know and experience it for yourself every day and then give it away. I have known everything about you since before you were born. There is nothing hidden from me, yet I still love you because it isn't based on your performance or works. Boy, that takes a load off of you right there. Think about it. Trust in this love. Drink from it until you are filled so that you become fearless and powerful with my supernatural mountain-moving faith. You are not my servants. You are my sons and daughters. So come boldly into my throne room, and you'll receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Take your rightful place in Christ, seated at my right hand in the heavenlies, for that is where you belong. Ask, seek, and knock on the basis of the blood of Jesus, and I will open it and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Know this, that if you ask anything according to my will, that I will hear you, and you will know that what you ask for will be given unto you. If you only knew how much I loved you. You would all become my champions in the hall of fame of the heroes of faith. So pursue it. Seek to acquire it. Make it your aim and your great quest. You will never be the same, I promise you. Now think about it for just a second. Why did Abraham pack up everything and leave the civilization, a city with plumbing and everything, and just leave because and go off into the desert living in tents for the rest of his life? It's just because God said, come on. He didn't even know who this God was. All he got was this word. Why would Abraham do such a thing? Why would David, just as a boy, face Goliath? Why would Daniel take a nap with a bunch of lions? Yeah. Why would Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, confront an army that was so much bigger than his? Why did Peter get out of the boat and walk on water? Why did he grab hold of that crippled guy's hand in the Temple Gate Beautiful and jerk him to his feet? And then stare down the Sanhedrin over it? Why did Paul keep pressing on against certain death every day? Because he had confidence in this love. He got a hold of this, and then it got a hold of him. What I just shared with you about what God says about you. It's a total game changer. I've heard some people say, you know, Christianity is like one blind squirrel finding an acorn and then telling the other squirrels where he found the acorn. That ain't the way God sees you. Some poor thing where he's just going to take pity on you. Yeah, you can come up to heaven, you poor thing. No. No. He's made us more than conquerors because of that love. Because of that love. If you got your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 5. I mean, you're not going to have a better 2019 if you keep doing what you've always done, obviously. So if you want an increase to come in your life, that means you're going to have to change what you emphasize in your daily life. What are you emphasizing in your daily life? I-O, so off to work I go. Like I said, that's going with the plan A of getting financial increase. I just work my butt off and hopefully I don't do anything wrong and nothing bad happens and maybe I'll have enough to just barely get it by. No, not at all. If I put my emphasis on the love of God, that sounds really complicated, doesn't it? And we almost overlook it because we're like, yeah, God loves me. I got that. So what's the deal? No. You don't understand. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. In fact, we read in Ephesians chapter 3 that to know this love that passes knowledge. And when you know this love that passes, I mean, you get the revelation of it and you begin to experience it for yourself. It's not a concept. God doesn't want you to know about his love. He wants you to experience his love. It's not enough as a little kid to go up to the ice cream stand and they had all of these big pictures on the windows. And the one I wanted the most was the biggest one of all. Hey, I got a guy brain, okay? And it was a banana split. And it looked like it was big as the Titanic. Of course, it's a massive picture on the window. And I'm looking at there and I'm saying, oh, three big hunks of ice cream. Did you see the pineapples? I like pineapples. Did you see the strawberries? Ooh, I like strawberries. Oh, and that last one over here, did you see the chocolate? Ooh. Come on, ladies. Give me a big ooh. Ooh, I like chocolate. Then two big old honking bananas in there. It's so big they can't put it in a cone. They can't put it in a cup. It's in a boat. Man, it's in a boat. And I had to wait a long time. But Bubba, let me tell you what. When I got that first one, I sat right down on the little parking curb, you know, because I rode my bicycle over there, and I finally got, I'm delivering newspapers. Now I'm a tycoon. I got money to burn. I got my first one. I sat down and I scarfed that puppy down. I delighted in every bit of it. I didn't know if I wanted to eat all the pineapple one and then all the strawberry one and then all the chocolate one or just take one of each and then come back and forth and back like eating corn on the cob. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I had a whole new love for a banana split. I'd seen it. Now I'm tasting it. It's the same thing that God wants you to have for his love. He wants you to passionately get a hold of it so that it can change your life. To live like Jesus, we got to be submitted to this agape love, the God kind of love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion that is inspired by God's love for us and God's love in us. It's one of the greatest gifts He could ever give you. Because with that, you got everything else. When you know that that love is upon you, when you're facing the impossible, like Daniel in the lion's den, you just take a nap. I'm looking at $130,000 of financial destruction. I literally, after I opened it and read that, I'm like 3 days home from a four-way bypass, you know. Talk about a bad timing. I looked at that thing and I'm going, well, shazam. I just held the whole thing up to God. I said, God, do you read this? I'm not being facetious at all. I'm giving it literally to Him. Why? Because I knew His love for me was more than enough. I had no idea how God was going to do it. All I knew is He was going to do it because I knew He loved me that much. $130,000? Yeah, and then some. That's just a first drop in the bucket. But you got to act on this love. You got to eagerly pursue it. This is what we shared last week. It's the taproot which delivers everything that God has and everything that God does in us and for us. Does that sound like something worth looking into? Going beyond just that surface thing? Yeah, God so loved the world. He so loved me. Yada, yada, yada. No, no, no. You get a hold of this, man, it'll blow you away. It is a total, absolute game changer. And we looked at how 1 Corinthians 13 is so important to us because it's a definition and it is the measuring stick of how much we are submitted to Him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. This is still your assignment. I told you about it last Sunday. Please take that out every day and read it out loud. Because this will revolutionize your life. Faster than any other scripture in the Bible. It's there for you and for me. Now, you over here in Galatians? Because we want to have this fruitful life for God, right? Because we want to live like Jesus. The Bible says in Peter, he says, you know, he left us an example so that we could walk in His steps. Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do an even greater works because I go to my Father. So we want to live like Jesus, right? Look at here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Cheryl's got it up on the screen already. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Come on, somebody help me. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Come on, say it like you mean it is what? Love. Yeah, okay. Now, people take this, you know, well, you got love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Yeah. Self-control, against such there's no law. This is not all the different kinds of fruit. It's sort of like, if you will, picture an orange. I like getting those little cuties or whatever they call them. They're like a big old fat mandarin orange. And they peel real easy and they got no seeds in them. How many of you get some of them? I got a bag of them out of Walmart. I scarfed them puppies down. And when you take that orange, it's a piece of fruit, but it's got all these different segments in it, right? What I like doing, when my grandson, Layton, comes over, he stares at me with them eyes, you know. He knows his grandpa loves him. Just like I know my daddy loves me in heaven. He goes, Grandpa, can I have an orange? Oh, sure. Come on over. I'll give him one of those segments. He just gets to working on that with his little three-year-old mouth, man. He is chewing on that sucker. Oh, he'll eat two and then give me the rest of it. We got this thing. It's good. But here's God telling us the fruit of the Spirit is love. And part of that love is joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Another bite of that love gives us what? Gives us peace. $130,000. I got peace, baby. I go back into the hospital 3-4 days later. Coldwater Hospital. I can't hardly breathe. The only way I can breathe is if I'm standing straight up or sitting in a straight up chair. Couldn't even sit in my recliner. Couldn't get a deep breath. I was filling up with fluids. I didn't know it. I was fixing to die. So I go to the hospital, and they take 20 pounds of water off of me in 3 days, 2.5 gallons. That's a lot of trips to the bathroom, I just want you to know. They were pouring it to me. You can be sound asleep, and it's like, bing. And then they did an echocardiogram on me and said, oh, goodness, we got to get you back up to the hospital. I'm like, what are you talking about? You got to be opened up again. Like, I didn't like it the first time. That was my first surgery. Come on, a four-way bypass? Come on. I had a peace. Why? Because I had a hold of that love. Not only did I have peace, but man, I can be patient. I can go through long suffering. Believe me, it was 2 years on pain meds after I got that second surgery. But that's all right. See, when love's got a hold of you and you got a hold of it, nothing can rattle your cage because it's well with your soul. Not only do you have that long suffering, but you can be kind to other people. I'll tell you what, I'd been a chaplain for 14 years through it all. And it was during that time, probably about as into it, maybe 10 years, when I went up and had that open heart surgery. Fortunately, I never had a bypass or never had a heart attack. Got the four-way. I come back from all of that and tell you what, man, I had a whole new appreciation for what those people were going through on the other side of that bed rail when I came in to see them in the hospital room. I knew what they were going through. I've been there. I've done that. I got the T-shirt. I got me one of them big old stuffed mooses. Look like Bullwinkle the Moose. And when you're getting ready to cough, you know, after you've had an open heart, that's not funny. You just squeeze it in there, you know. So I still got that moose. So I know what they're going through. Goodness, I can be good to the most ugly people you'll ever meet. Why? Because I got an inexhaustible supply from God. I don't have to worry if it doesn't come back my way. I can be faithful to Him. Why? Because that love's never going to let go of me, so I'm never going to let go of it. I can have self-control. Why? Because God's in control. I don't have to figure this out. How many of you know you ain't ever going to figure it all out? It's like the guy who's praying to God, God, I need a miracle. God, I really need a miracle. And God finally, after he cries out to God long enough, God comes down to him and says, what do you need? And he goes, I need to figure out my wife. And God says, was there anything else you wanted? And God goes, yeah, I want to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared of flying. I need to have you just build me a bridge all the way from California to Hawaii. God says, well, you want that to be a two-lane or a four-lane? You ain't going to figure out your wife. You ain't going to figure out a lot. You ain't going to figure out your husband. You don't have to worry about that because God's got it all under control. I can just love her unconditionally. I can let her be her. My wife is so different from me, it ain't funny. Well, maybe it is because God has a sense of humor. He puts two totally different kind of people together in marriage, you know. But the beauty of it is with that love, I don't have to worry about figuring her out. I just love her because this love is coming in me and it's coming right back out of me. And self-control. There's no law against that. If you're living like this, the devil cannot break you down. He cannot find a crack in your armor. He cannot come in and mess with you in a way that God cannot restore it. Comes from your born-again spirit, not from your carnal mind. God said He's already put this love on the inside of us. He's shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't this great? You don't have to go get it. It's already there. And all you got to do is decide that you're going to develop it, that you're going to let it mature. You're going to let this love dominate your life. Because the more you let His love take over on the inside of you, because you got a choice. You can go with the old way. Or you can go with the way that God has made you now new. And that way is always the way of love. Because we're surrounded in a world full of snowflakes, ding-dongs, idiots. I mean, Walmartians. Those are the guys that they leave the shopping cart in the parking space right next to the parking lot corral. Because they won't go all the way, put it in there. Gee, come on. Yeah. You can love them. You don't get exasperated. You just love them. You just smile, nod your head, go, gee, thank you, Lord. I pray blessings over them. They need it. So you see, I don't get all twisted up in a knot. I don't get all offended. I don't get touchy, fretful. I can be chilling in the middle of the worst situation you can imagine. See, the fruit of love is like a partnership issue. Go over here to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15. She'll put it up on the screen here real quick. Because you want to live like God, because that's where the fun is. That's where everything that you have ever wanted is. Oh, the devil can give it to you a little bit, but there's always a hook in it. But when you studied out the love of God, what God says about you, and you just keep bringing this thing through you again and again and again, you get beyond the yebit. You know what a yebit is? That's when you hear about the good things that God wants to do in your life, but as you're listening to that, there's this little thought that comes in, yeah, but not you. That's a yebit. Yeah, but. No. There's no yeah, but in this when God's talking about his love for you and me. That love is right there. It's yours. It is unconditional. It is not based on your performance. It's for everybody who wants to go for it. How wonderful. You get these things on Facebook every now and then. I'm a low-tech redneck, but I can kind of surf through there a little bit. Don't ask me to do anything other than scroll and maybe type in something, you know, happy birthday. But if you will do this and forward it to 27 different people, $10 million will come because there's a Saudi Arabian prince who wants to give away all of his money. And he wants to do it on Facebook. He's like, yeah, right, okay. I don't go for that stuff. But when I see it in the Bible, I know that I'm qualified. There is no yeah, but. It's, oh, yeah, that's what my daddy wants to give me, and I'm going to agree with that. Because it's all based on love. John 15, it says, Jesus is talking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, we're talking about love. That's what the fruit is, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love. Any branch that does not bear love, he takes it away. And every branch that bears love, he prunes that it may bear even more love. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Think about it. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, the love of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me settles down, makes it his long-term abode. That's what abide means. When he abides in me and I in him, he's going to bear much fruit, much love. For without me, you can do nothing. Here's the best part. For in this, my Father is glorified that you bear much love. So you will be my disciples. See, the amount of fruit you produce is dependent upon how connected you are to God. You can't do this on your own. It's a natural part of who you are as a Christian. When I was a little kid growing up, we had two pear trees, a cherry tree, and an apple tree in our backyard. And our backyard was not very big. And I've never yet remember going back out in the backyard as a kid, listening to the pear tree going, trying to produce pears. It just produces pear because it's a pear tree. You never have to worry if the cherry tree was going to bear any apples because it's a cherry tree. It's not an apple tree. I know this is deep. Hang in there with me. But you see, that's the same with us. We can bear that fruit because we know who we are in Christ. And you don't see any apples, you don't see any pears, you don't see any cherries coming off the trunk of the tree. No, they're out on the branches. And the branches do it because all the life that comes up from the root runs up the trunk of the tree, out into the branches, and that's where the fruit is produced. And if you're connected to God, if you're grabbing a hold of this love, it just leaks out of you. That's what the Bible speaks of as fruit. It's impossible to be love-dominated and flesh-dominated at the same time. It's one or the other. Now, I used to live, before I got to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I used to do whatever felt good. I did whatever I wanted. If I didn't get caught, it wasn't wrong. Great theory until you get caught a couple times. But you see, I'd rather be love-dominated. Because I got away from that old way of living because it didn't work. Even if it was working, there was something missing on the inside of me that was driving me nuts. And that hole in the middle of me was a God-shaped vacuum. And when he came in, why would I want to go do the old stuff and still go to church on Sunday and say that I'm a Christian when if I do it God's way, it's so much better. So much better. But you let that life flow come through you. See, it begins to grow when you ask yourself in those tough situations where you're getting your buttons pushed. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's dancing on your last nerve. Like what Foghorn Leghorn used to say, boy, you're exceeding the limitations of my medication. You know, I love that cartoon. Especially when he got a hold of the dog with a big board and went, wah, 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 wah. You know, that chicken was cool. Well, what do you do when you get into those situations? You got to ask yourself this question, what would love do? What did Jesus do? Is they're nailing him to the cross. Stripping him down naked. Putting him up in the air. After he'd been beat half to death with a cat of nine tails. He says, Father, please forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. These are professional executioners. He didn't know what they were really doing. Not really. What did he do? He gave them love. He gave them what they didn't deserve. You and I don't deserve this love, but it's ours anyway. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'll give it to those that deserve it. It doesn't work that way. It only works when you give it away. And it really works the best when you give it away to somebody who don't deserve it. It says that fastest way to destroy your enemy is to turn them into your friend. You love them, just like what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. You got to let yourself get carried away with love. And stop letting yourself getting carried away by the flesh and then repenting. Lord, can I punch them in the nose and pray for their healing? That's a no. They're driving me crazy. Well, it's a short trip. What are you going to do about it, Lord? And what are you going to do about it? I gave you my love. Are you going to give them that? Hadn't tried that. Well, try it. I've worked for people before. Oh, man. They were sent to be an irritation to me. I swear. They had demons flying out of their eyeballs. Didn't matter. If I walked in love, I won every single time. I had one guy that was so toxic that I worked with that God, I'm going, God, please change this over. I kept getting assigned to work with this guy. Nobody wanted to work with him. He was a total jerk. And God says to me, what makes you think that Bible school starts in September? It's like, oh, gosh, why did you have to say that? I mean, I just wanted to belt him upside the head. I'm getting ready to go into Bible school. Doesn't that sound great? You know, your flesh doesn't shut up. You got to deal with it to the day you die. But if you ask yourself, what would love do? Well, I started loving on this guy. I didn't give him what he deserved. He deserved a punch in the nose. But I gave him love and honored him, respected him, laughed with him. Next thing you know, it was the spookiest thing I ever saw. I swear, in my entire life, it happened so fast. He became my friend. It kind of scared me just a little bit because this guy was so toxic to everybody all the time. And yet he went to church every Sunday. He had no touch of love. No touch of love. See, why should we make love a priority? Number one, it transforms you into a God-focused person instead of a me-focused. Always a better deal. It casts out fear. Do you realize fear dominates most people? It causes most of the wounds and most of the brokenness in people's lives based on fear. Yeah. Every angry person you'll ever meet has got a root of fear on the inside of them that's creating the anger. Love casts out fear. It's the only evidence that you and I have that we've passed from death to life. We know because we love the brethren, the Bible says. It is something that convinces the lost that we are real. They can see right through you. If you're not walking in love, you don't look or smell or act like anybody different than everybody else they deal with. It convinces the lost that we're real about Jesus. The Bible says, oh, no, we're Christians by our love one for another. Think about it. It destroys gossip and fault-finding because love works no ill will to your neighbor. It cures the touchy, easily offended soul and sets the victim-minded people free. You are not a victim if you're a child of God. And when you get a hold of that love, you realize, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm blessed beyond the curse. I don't have to worry about what's happened to me in the past. I give it to God. It defeats every enemy by being a blessing. Polycarp, one of the great fathers of the faith, they were coming to arrest him, to kill him. And he invited the guards that had come to seize him. He invited them into his house. He knows what's going down. God already told him what was going to happen. Brought him in, treated him to a wonderful meal, gave him everything, and then gladly walked with him and died a horrible death that glorified God. It blew those soldiers away. They may have killed one Christian, but they raised up 100 new ones. That's why the devil quit all that nonsense, because he couldn't kill the church from the outside in. It produces spiritual maturity. In fact, it's the only thing that'll produce spiritual maturity in your life is walking in love. It makes it impossible to be disappointed in this life. Why? Because you're looking for the long view. Yeah, I'm going through this temporary time. I'm walking through the valley of shadow death. I don't care. I'm not going to be afraid because God's with me. His love will never let me down. So something in here, I don't understand it right now. I will someday, but for right now, I'm okay. I can be miserable, but I'm never going to be disappointed. Life is not a bowl of cherries. There are things that you will have to go through, but God's going through it with you. So what do? Put a grin on your face. Don't let the devil know that he's getting to you. And keep walking in that love. It always has to find a way to give of itself to others. There's no such thing as love that sits on the inside of you. Yeah, I love them. That means I haven't done bad things to them. No. Love is always given. Love is always needing to be expressed. It's like when my sisters would have me, go in and get them a can of pop. This is back before you had the easy open pop tabs. You had to use that, that little thing that opened it. They should have known better. Because we were always antagonistic towards each other's kids, all five of us. I'm going in to get a pop. Hey, you want to get me one too? Sure, no problem. Run in the house, get the pop can, shake the heck out of it. I got a guy brain. Aren't you glad I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I didn't know it, but I was practicing for the ministry. Because pastoral ministry is comfort the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And I always thought my sisters were too comfortable. So I had to afflict them. God is so patient. I'd come out there with a can of pop and I'd hand them the key and I'd just start doing this number. Because I need about two steps to outrun my big sister. Yeah. They'd open it. It was a geyser right in the mush, And it's like, feet don't fail me now. Yeah. Can't be stopped because it doesn't quit. That's why the Bible says love never fails. When it's on the inside of you, you can't be stopped either. Why? Because you ain't going to quit. Love will find a way where there is no way. Love will close the door that no man can open and an open door that nobody else can close. This is so great. And the best part about it is God made it so simple. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. God has flooded our souls with what the world is looking for. Love. You look around you, man, everybody's mad at everybody about everything and anything. Nobody wants to connect with people, but yet on the inside, the longing of their heart is for community. I need to know that somebody cares. And yet they're convinced that nobody cares, so they're toxic towards everybody, so they won't be offended, they won't be hurt. They won't be disappointed, but yet it's the thing on the inside of them they want more than anything else. Surveys have shown this. The number one thing that the Generation Z and the Generation X wants right now, that's the teenagers and the 20 to 30-somethings, they want community. They want a place where they can belong, where they matter, where they're not just blah, blah, blah on Facebook or somebody that's texting or somebody that's on the other end of an Xbox thing that you're playing somebody on the other side of the planet and doesn't know you from Adam's house cat. Love is what we've got that everybody's looking for. And can I just leave you with this thought? How is it that the early church, who didn't even have the New Testament Bible, Peter and John and the rest of them, how was it that within 10 years that they made such an insanely huge impact on the world that they were living in? That they got the attention of the emperor in Rome because they were upsetting his apple cart where everybody worshiped the emperor as God. The Bible says that they claimed that, these that have turned the world upside down have come here too. Well, actually, they were turning it right side up because it was upside down. How could they do all that? They didn't have great teachers. They had one thing and one thing alone. They had love. You read about it in the book of Acts. There was so much love there that people all around them didn't have, that they were willing to risk it all to taste and see how good this love is. It's what we've got. So it's time to stop ignoring it. It's time to stop taking it for granted. It's time to stop just having just enough so I feel okay today. What I'm trying to share with you is that this is a lifestyle. This is where everything that Jesus came to give us comes out of. And it's the love of God. Are you willing to look into it? Well, take this page here, this what God says about you. Read it. Read it out loud. It'll mess with your head. It'll start changing your thinking. You got to reprogram this thing up here that keeps looking at you in a negative way, because that's what everybody else tells you. Well, everybody else is wrong. The only person that's right about you is God, because he's the one who made you. He knows what's on the inside of you, what you don't even know is on the inside of you. But until this love starts to get a hold of you and you get a hold of it, it'll just lay there, because it takes courage to do that. How'd Peter step out of the boat? He was convinced that when Jesus said, come, his love was going to get him there. The other 11 disciples are going, well, let's wait and see how this one guy goes. You know, Peter, foot and mouth, ready, fire, aim, Peter. But that love let him walk all the way out and walk all the way back. Oh, yeah, he had a little trouble in the middle of it, but what happened? Jesus grabbed all of him. Love got all of him, brought him all the way back. That's the supernatural sauce. That's the secret sauce of Christianity that makes it what it's supposed to be. And I'm convinced that if we will focus on this one thing, if we'll just let it, I mean, you got to get to the point where you're willing to try it, okay? And it's not easy, but it sure pays dividends. Before you know it, you're going to be a love junkie, because you see that every time you step out in love, God shows up. Every time you give somebody what they don't deserve, God begins to show off. Miracles start happening in your life. Your prayers, Bible says faith works by love. What would happen if every one of your prayers got answered? Would that be cool? Would you want that? Well, then this is the thing you work on. Not being hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically correct. Walking in love. Because the disciples were dumber than a sack of hammers when it came to the theological, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological. They really didn't have it. But they did have Jesus. And they had seen what his love would do. Blind Bartimaeus. Oh, yeah. Lazarus. The Bible says every time Jesus performed a miracle, he was filled with compassion. That's love in action. That's what's on the inside of you. So what do you say? Why not? If you tried the other way and it didn't work so good, come over and try this. And it'll change your life forever. Amen. Father, we just thank you today that we can have a love that never quits, never gives up, always works, and continually amazes us. Holy Spirit, please lead us and guide us, direct us. We ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God himself and his love for us. Help us to see, Lord, what we're looking right straight at and don't understand, so that we could be receivers of this love and change this world one heart at a time. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what happened to my time? I got to quit. I'm just about ready to catch second gear, but that's okay. That's what next Sunday's for. Let somebody know what you found. Pray for some folks that are dealing with this crud, this sickness and stuff. Keep Diane Vargas in prayer. Mike, who's dealing with MRSA of the kidneys. Rhonda, who's wrestling with all kinds of issues. Let's believe God together. We're going to see some neat things happen, amen, simply because love. Why not? It'll change your life forever. Amen. So take some and give it away this week. Can you do that? And get ready. You're going to start seeing miracles before you know it. So you ready to get dangerous? Because if you're walking in this love, if it gets a hold of you and you get a hold of it, it'll make you want to just swing out over hell on a cornstalk and spit in the devil's eye. Because you know he's got you. Amen. Amen. Go give the devil a headache. We'll see you next Sunday, all right? Or come Wednesday if you want some more teaching, all right? And get ready.